There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. My next guest approached me online explaining how aligned we were on the ethical path. Another amazing connection from London. This guest does not disappoint. Sarah Jordan is the founder of You Underwear, which was inspired by a trip to Uganda in 2016 when she discovered the huge number of women and children who don't have access to underwear and are therefore excluded from their school or community, particularly during their period. Her aim is to tackle this problem by creating an ethical underwear brand that gives back. She believes you can have it all. Beautiful underwear that makes you feel amazing, is manufactured fairly, and helps support vulnerable communities around the world. Sarah is determined to change the world, one pair of pants at a time. Welcome, Sarah, to the Ethical Evolution.
Thank you, Bindi. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here all the way from the UK. Now, can you tell us a bit about your background and how You Underwear came about?
Yeah, so my background is actually nothing to do with fashion or manufacturing or import or all the things that I've learned over the last sort of 3 years of doing this. I actually had more of a tech background and working in charities in the UK. Mm-hmm. So Oxfam and a few others, and just looking at how they use technology from their communications and fundraising and also in the field. So from that side, and then I had a bit of a change in 2016. So I went to Uganda as a bit of a midlife, let's do something different.
Yeah.
I was turning 40, wanted to have a challenge that was, well, a personal challenge, but also helping support kind of local communities. So I went out there, volunteered as part of the Uganda Marathon, and was working with local community groups in Uganda to support specifically a set of women who were entrepreneurs and trying to start a business selling sanitary towels and nappies. And they were making them out of local sort of produce, effectively, mm-hmm. and whatever materials they could get for themselves and to sell locally to start the business. And I was there just to sort of help out, learn a bit about that. And they were really struggling with it. And I was just like, what is the problem? Because it's a really good, really good idea, really good initiative. It turned out that most of the women they were trying to supply to didn't have any underwear to put the sanitary towels in.
Right.
And it was just like, oh my God, such a simple thing that we take for granted every day. Don't think anything of it. Literally the first thing you put on in the morning.
Mm.
And it meant that they were kind of obvious health hygiene issues and safety. They were much more at risk. But actually just going to school, so the girls and the boys were just the difference in their sort of education levels, because once a month the girls would have to miss a week of school.
Yeah.
And it carried on all the way through, and particularly when they obviously when they had their periods, they were sort of excluded from the communities, not able to complete their education, and they were missing sort of 12 weeks a year right the way through, from school through to work. And it was just having such a massive impact.
Wow.
And I just kind of was absolutely stunned by it. Mm-hmm. And as I said, really something that we just don't even think about. Came back from that, determined to do something, didn't really know what that would be.
Yeah.
Started looking into underwear, how you manufacture it, and then discovered some of the problems of conventional cotton. Because it's one of the world's most polluting crops. It's a really nasty crop because of all the pesticides that are required. So anybody farming it, manufacturing it, they have huge pollution rates, all sorts of issues. So put the two together and ended up with an ethical underwear brand. So we use only organic cotton and support local manufacturers in India. And then we work with a charity called Smalls for All to provide underwear to people that don't have it. So it was a bit of a lucky accident, I guess, going to Uganda and seeing that. But
amazing.
And life-changing in a number of ways.
Amazing. So now that you've created that, what's your mission? I mean, obviously you want to try and reach as many young women as you can. What are you aiming for?
Yeah, so at a very practical level, we've got a target of donating 23,000 pairs of underwear by 2023.
Yeah.
So our mission is all about empowering women by providing them with underwear so that they can stay in education, because obviously that's one of the fundamental ways of helping women out of poverty, helping support them in their local communities and their families. So very directly by providing underwear. So we've got specific targets on that. We also want to support, as I said, the people making our underwear. So we have a manufacturer in India that is the country's leading sustainable and ethical manufacturer. And they, again, support local communities who are impacted by some of the challenges with cotton farming.
Yep.
And our consumers as well. So it's kind of about empowering women across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So we use in our marketing, we think our marketing should be ethical as well.
Yeah.
So we use real people as models. So that's us, friends, family, anybody that I can rope into it, essentially. We don't airbrush our images, and we have empowering messages on the inside. So it's very much about sort of body positivity, confidence, and just trying to make sure that people across the board are comfortable in their own skin, in their own bodies. So trying to do all of that and have a positive impact or counter some of the negative impact of fast fashion and an industry that's really not very nice.
Wow.
And with all the plastic side of it as well. So we've got quite a holistic mission, but it is very much, now I've been asked to describe it, sort of very focused on women across the board and just trying to support them in whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and you know, some of my other guests I've had on the podcast have had very similar themes to you, in that, you know, helping women in those areas, you know, to stay in education and to, you know, actually make an impact in the community. That's what actually makes collective change and changes economies and communities and families. And that's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, women do contribute. Not say contribute much more, that sounds a very sexist comment. But in terms of, they support their families, they support the wider community, villages, and so sort of helping women stay in education and have an economic future is much more than just that individual that benefits from it. So yeah, it's really important that that's part of what we do.
It also gives them the opportunity to earn a wage as well and contribute in other ways other than just, you know, creating a family. So, and as we've seen, you know, women in business are far more innovative, I think, sometimes, and they are real powerhouses. So what you're doing is incredible. Now, can you tell us about some of the people that you've helped and the difference it's made, particularly in Uganda?
Yeah, so the original idea came, as I said, from Uganda.
Yep.
And what's nice is the charity that we work with, so we've got a partnership with a charity in the UK called Smalls for All.
Yep.
So their mission is to provide underwear.
Yep.
They do that in the UK and they do that through Africa, including in Uganda. So some of our underwear does go right back, which is really nice because obviously that was the inspiration behind the whole thing. We've just done our 2019 donations, so that's 2,550, I think, pairs that have gone to Smalls for last year, on top of the 1,000 for the year before that. So we're just over 3,500 pairs so far, which is brilliant because that is literally hundreds, thousands of women and girls that we can support. So it's very directly working with those communities.
Mm.
It's predominantly women in refugee and IDP camps,
mm-hmm.
And also rural communities who just don't have access to the underwear. Although Smalls actually started to work in the UK as of summer of 2018, which is a little bit sad that it's required here as well. But women in homeless shelters and refuges here, it's the same problem. People just don't think about underwear, don't donate those items. So we also support them here. And we provide, we also help with donating and collecting secondhand bras.
Yes.
That's another item that is very valuable and really helps support women in a number of ways. And so it's, yeah, we sort of match our donations on that side. as well and collect secondhand bras and do collections every now and again and send them to small so that they can be distributed. So yes, that's the people that we've reached so far. And as I said, that 23,000 target is our big one for 3 years' time.
Wow, that's a lot of underwear. Now, what's been your biggest challenge in actually getting this set up and trying to get those donations out there, and how have you overcome that?
I think, well, gosh, there's a number of challenges when you start a small business, particularly if it's not your area. So I have learned a huge amount. I literally, apart from being a consumer, I knew nothing about manufacturing and underwear design, and I've done everything. So started the business, Uganda was 2016, and then came back from that, and it took about a year to sort of get an idea of what actually I was going to do to try and help tackle that issue and get prototypes off the ground. We did a crowdfunding campaign at the end of 2017, which was a challenge in itself. It's phenomenal hard work. So people see it as a bit of a silver bullet, I think. It's like, oh, I can raise a load of money. In reality, it's a 30-day brutal marketing campaign when you're up sort of 24/7 and literally begging everybody you know to help support you. So that was just a huge one, and how much time and effort and actually money it takes to raise that money. So it was great for us in raising awareness, but definitely one of the sort of early milestones and early challenges. If I'm completely honest, I founded the business with a co-founder, and we went our separate ways quite early on, just having very, very different views for the business and a sort of vision for the people that we wanted to support and the role of that and how direct a part that played in it, and just different working styles. So that was an early challenge. I'm now running it myself, which is brilliant, although that poses its own difficulties in terms of work. Well, there is no work-life balance, but juggling stuff and just doing everything and knowing where you are best spending your time, you know, the most impact you can have as the sort of founder of the business versus where you need to get help, where you need to get expertise in, and just the financial challenge of doing that when you're starting. Obviously, we're not making any money, and the charitable piece is such an important part of it that it's really key that we do that and that we source sustainably, so we're not looking at sort of cutting costs by getting cheaper underwear. It's very much about doing that properly, but that means that there's a much slower sort of growth, I suppose, in that sense. So there's a lot of day-to-day challenges. I absolutely love it. I've never been busier, never been more stressed and tired, but absolutely love what I'm doing. And just being able to, I'm hoping to go out to, or with Smalls for All, to see the underwear being distributed this year. I went to India to the manufacturer last year, and I'm going again. And just having that very direct visibility of it and being able to see for myself that this stuff is sourced well, made well, and then the impact in terms of the distribution and giving out the underwear is going to be amazing. So the sort of direct impact is definitely one of the benefits of it, but there's a lot of work to do and there's a lot that you learn, and once, and if you are a sustainable business, then that flows down through everything. So we try and minimize our waste, our use of plastic, no single use plastic, but making sure your ink is ethical and your banking is ethical and your envelopes and all those things that you just don't sort of think about when you get started. But yeah, absolutely love it. Just a lot of stuff to do.
So you're doing this all on your own?
I am. I've got friends. I've got people I rope in, to be fair. A good friend of mine helps with the fulfillment. So my house is the head office. Is pant warehouse full of boxes of underwear. And it's really important to me that I stay kind of, well, apart from anything, I can't afford to have a big team at this stage, but stay connected with our customers. And so every order that comes in, we fulfill that. He helps with some of the packaging. I handwrite the card that says, thank you very much. This is the impact of your donation, of your order, and the amount of pants that we're donating. Being involved in all of that side. So I do have help. and a few people I sort of pull in every now and again. And I'm hoping to have my first employee in a couple of months. But again, it's just making sure that that's sustainable in the long term in terms of being able to afford it. But it's primarily me.
Yeah. As you were talking then, a few people I've spoken to on this podcast, what I like to call a karma millionaire. And I think you're one of those, Sarah. I think that karma is so coming your way in such a good way.
Oh, my God, I hope so.
For what you are doing. Because, oh, my God, everybody, please get behind this woman. Give her a break because she is doing amazing work. I think the universe has got your back on this one.
I do hope so.
Now, can you define what being ethical means to you?
Oh, wow. So for me, in terms of how we set up the business and that side of the ethical, it's everything. So as I said, we want to be a good business in the broader sense in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. It's about the sourcing. So for us, that's organic cotton. It's better for the people that work with it, who farm it, who manufacture it, turning it into clothes. It's better for the environment. It's less polluting, pesticides, and for us as consumers as well. You don't get the same sort of skin irritations. It lasts yep. longer. It's much softer. So there's kind of the sourcing side of it, which is really important, and the manufacturing. So as I said, we work with India's leading sustainable manufacturer, and they do a lot more than just providing sort of living wages, and they really support their employees and the communities that they work with to make sure that they've got healthcare, food provided, and again, just making sure it's made well, because fashion is such a nasty industry historically, and just we know the sweatshops, but actually bonded labor, there's all sorts of stuff in it that's really not very nice. I think, as I said, the kind of packaging, the sustainability of that, it's about having a definitely not a negative and ideally a positive impact across everything that you're doing, so you're not making the world a worse place, which our massive consumption habits have really done recently. And it's a challenge that I kind of had to deal with myself when thinking about this, because ultimately I'm putting more goods into the world. We don't need anything else. We really, really don't. So we're not trying to sort of push crazy amounts of underwear on people. It's about just when you are making a purchase, doing it well and consciously, and trying to, you know, do the best that you can do with your money as a consumer. So not encouraging more consumption, but just trying to encourage, again, that sort of reuse and recycle mentality that we need to get better at. And the ethics, as I said, of the kind of marketing as well, because again, the portrayal of women particularly, but men as well, in terms of some of the fashion industry models, all the size stuff, the body confidence. There's huge issues. There's so much around mental health at the moment. And social media and all of those challenges. We're so visible. And we really have that view that everybody has to look a certain way. And actually, I've had amazing feedback about the fact that we do use kind of normal people. I got my dad to model on 80th birthday, which he wasn't super impressed by. But it's having people that, you know, you can recognize, and it's still got to be sort of aspirational, but ultimately it's got to be realistic. So that's a really important part of it as well, is that we just provide the best environment, trying to make sure that people are confident in what they're doing. So the ethics in that sense is quite broad. It really is about everything that we're doing and trying to just be a good business across the full span of what we do.
Wow, you do.
Sorry, not a very short answer.
You do tick all the boxes when it comes to ethical. And I have seen some of your advertising and how you do use real people. And I have to say it's really refreshing to actually see, you know, underwear advertised and not, you know, abs and, you know, washboard abs and all that kind of stuff, which is largely unrealistic. The people are relatable, you know. You have a bit of a laugh at yourself as well, which I think is great. You know, the world needs more laughter. But
I mean, ultimately, it's underwear.
I know, right?
We take that stuff too seriously, and we're trying to have a good, you know, make a difference. But ultimately, it's underwear, and yeah, you can overthink things.
Yeah, so. But I think, you know, it's again that underlying thing that you're trying to solve here. I think, you know, just having that in the back of your mind in your purchasing habits is, you know, if you can pay it forward as you, you know, consciously and mindfully purchase new things, I think that's our way forward for collective change.
Definitely.
So what are the future plans for you and you underwear?
me and you. I've got big plans, which is very exciting. So at a very practical level, we've got new sort of ranges coming out, new colours. We've got quite a basic range. Obviously, getting started as a small business and stock and cash flow and all of those challenges, just getting off the ground. But we're starting to expand our range of colours and styles and just underwear that we provide. There's something like 25 different styles of women's underwear, which I was just like, really?
Wow.
So we don't have that many. We're not going that far.
Yeah.
But just gradually increasing so that, again, we're more inclusive in our sizing. So we got to size 20 in the UK. How can we grow that? How can we have more colours? We're doing some exciting collaborations. Mm-hmm. So as I said, the original idea came from a trip to Uganda, and we've actually got some African-inspired prints through in our underwear this year, which I'm so excited about. Because we've got, as I said, kind of neutral colours, the black, white, grey, different skin tones. And then it was like, well, if we're going to go bright, let's go really bright. So we've partnered with an amazing designer who is based in Nairobi to do some designs for us. And they look absolutely amazing. So that's going to be really exciting. And hopefully we'll grow that going forward. So partnering with local designers and girls who want to, you know, get into that space and give people a bit of an outlet for their creativity. So we're going to have some quite funky designs coming through. Different styles, supporting younger girls as well. Yep. So the sort of tween market isn't really catered for in terms of underwear that's not super sexy, but is actually comfortable and still quite stylish.
Yep.
So we're trying to sort of expand in that area. In terms of the business, I want us to become a B Corp. So registered and sort of formally saying we've got the certifications in terms of fair trade and GOTS and we are vegan. But actually as a business, how can we really apply that across the board and making sure that we are fully ethical in that sense in everything that we do and have that sort of standard behind us. What else? We're working with a company here called Provenance, which is a tech blockchain company. So we're using them to look at our transparency. And so we say that where we manufacture, we're actually very transparent about the name of the factory. You can see where they are, but using that technology to sort of underpin everything so people can see exactly where the components are manufactured, who it is that's making them, trace it right back through to the farms in India, the manufacturer, and then when it comes here, and then the donations going forward as well. So it's all certified. So it's kind of an external validation just to say everything that we say is true. They track and check everything for us, and then we can use that hopefully to sort of close the circle in some way so that when you buy a pair of underwear, you can see, you'll get a little QR code on the label in the shape of a pair of pants, I think. That's what I'm aiming for at the moment. You can scan that and you can see where they've been made. You can see who made them.
That's incredible.
And you can also see where the donations are going. And I just want to sort of join that up so that people who are supporting us and buying our underwear can really see the impact that they're having by doing that. So there's quite a few sort of technology pieces coming under the site and the platform, which I really am excited by.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's going to be so nice and seeing then where the underwear is donated and being able to sort of go out there and see, you know, the three pairs that I bought, that got six to this particular community in Uganda. So, and ultimately, things like manufacturing. And so Uganda used to have a very big, strong textile industry. I'd love to manufacture there as well. So there's lots of exciting growth plans. But, that's kind of some of the stuff that we're working on.
Oh, wow. I'm blown away. That's incredible. I love that blockchain idea. That is so cool.
I know. It sort of started. So, it's a company called Provenance. They did it mostly with food, actually, to start with, just to have the traceability. So when you see, you have a chocolate bar and you can see the ingredients, you know exactly where in Ghana that chocolate came from or whatever it is, all the different ingredients. And they were trying to look at how you could expand that. And I was like, can you do it with clothes and fashion and see? Because obviously there's the cotton, there's the elastin, there's all the different pieces of it. So yeah, that's going to be really exciting development if we can get that going.
Excellent. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to the African prints for one, because just a secret between you, me and everyone listening, I'm a big fan of loud underwear. So, yeah, I'll count me in.
I think so.
So how can people support what you're doing and get involved?
So the obvious ones are supporting us, buying our underwear. But actually donating to Smalls directly. So Smalls for All is, as I said, the charity. They collect secondhand bras. They accept donations of underwear directly, new underwear directly. So that helps them sort of reach more people and do that. So you can send kind of gently worn bras or new underwear to them or to us. We both do that. And just supporting more generally. So sharing the stuff, talking about what we're doing. We do send to Australia. We've got a few customers. I know my pants are in Australia, which is very exciting. So we do ship internationally. So that's very obvious. But even just sharing, talking about what we're doing, sharing the message around how you can make a difference with your purchases, and just encouraging people to think about where their clothes are made, think about the impact of that. So not just supporting us, but actually the whole change that we need to make to our consumption habits will be really helpful. And sharing that and supporting brands that are trying to do this, sharing it on social media, talking about it, encouraging your friends to do the same, makes a huge difference. And just getting in touch, giving us feedback, telling us that we're doing a good thing, that karma thing, like, yes, please.
Yes.
It's hard work. So it's good to know that it's appreciated and recognized.
I love your mindset, Sarah. I love that you're not just saying go buy undies. You're actually telling people to have a much broader think about things and actually look at their purchasing habits and actually support others that are doing a similar thing. So, again, collective change. I just love that mindset.
It is small things, because I think one of the things that I've really noticed moving into the sort of ethical space is it's hard.
Mm.
It's hard as a consumer to know, you know, it's daunting. The problems that we face are phenomenal.
Mm.
And everybody's a bit sort of like, oh my God, where do I start? And actually just making one small change is huge, because that collective thing then does add up. And I think people sort of go, oh God, I can't do it because I'm one person, I'm not going to make a difference.
Mm.
You are.
Yeah.
And that's how all change starts. Mm. So it's, and don't worry about being perfect, because I've certainly noticed that with running the business. There's still loads of things that we need to change and improve.
Mm.
But doing something is better than not doing anything, and it all adds up and it sort of gets you in that right direction. So, yeah, definitely do something, anything, and we'll all get there in the end. But, yeah, it's really important that people do, we start to sort of think a bit differently about stuff, because
we're
making a bit of a mess.
There's actually a local charity here in Queensland called Support the Girls, and they do a very similar thing to what you do, in that they collect bras for women who are homeless. I actually interviewed the founder a while back, and we were having a conversation about, you know, big department store chains. And I know we're not talking ethical here at the moment, but we're just talking in general people who need, you know, underwear. And she was telling me she actually approached major department stores that had leftover stock that was just going to be thrown away. And she was like, look, can I take them off your hands and give them to people who actually need them? And they would not let her take them. They, you know what they do with them? They actually take them and they bury them. They will not give them out. They'll go and bury them in the ground and let them rot, rather than help someone.
Yeah, I've heard that. We've got the same thing. So a couple of the big brands here got busted. One got busted for burning stuff, and the other one got busted for putting it in landfill.
Yeah.
And it drives me absolutely nuts, because there's problem. I mean, the whole thing is crazy, because you can't burn it, you can't bury it. We've got enough problem with waste. And
I know.
Plus, it's fully usable, brand new stuff that will make a massive difference. Drives me absolutely crazy, things like that, because I think it's just I don't know, I was about to swear.
Go for it.
Loads of bollocks. Utterly, it's just ridiculous, because how can you justify that? And I don't care about the stuff about it, you know, damages your brand. That stuff damages your brand by being a dickhead and not actually trying, you know. Yeah, I fundamentally disagree. I think it is, people are gradually starting to surface some of those things and say, actually, this isn't cool. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
We can't do this for any number of reasons. And I'm really hoping that those practices generally stop. Mm. But it's absolutely, I mean, the amount of stuff that gets thrown away, and the big brands, the retailers are guilty. We are guilty as individuals, because we buy stuff and we wear it for an average of something like 4 times. And it's just, that whole thing just has to shift.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's absolutely no excuse for burying anything.
Like, and I mean, you know, they're not going to make profit, but, you know, if you could help someone and not kill the planet at the same time, like, you know, no brainer.
And it has to be those big businesses as well. So, you know, it makes a difference. We're doing something very small, and there's a number of people, brands like us, doing something very small, but it's the big guys. Everybody has to do it.
Mm.
And I think it isn't just about the money. That is not what's going to make a difference. And it's not going to do them any harm by playing their part in that. And actually, I think the general shift will happen, in that consumers will start to demand that. And actually, it won't be acceptable to be so destructive in kind of everything that you're doing. So it's like, we'll lead it then in that case, be the person, you know, the person that steps forward first. And that drives me nuts.
Yeah, but one thing I'm actually seeing through doing this podcast, and you know what, I'm so glad I'm doing this, because one thing that I'm seeing is there is an ethical evolution happening. People are actually starting to wake up. They're going, you know what, this is not okay, and I'm going to make a change. So
I think so. I mean, I'm really pleased that you say that, because it's hard. I think being in this space, I think that, but then I don't know whether I'm just talking to myself at some level, and people who are already convinced, and it's like we're all talking about the same thing. But I think actually it is happening.
It is.
And it's not just people, you know, us that are sort of working in it, but it is generally changing. I really noticed it at Christmas, the amount of people that came and said, you know, we don't want to just buy crap this year. We don't want to do this. And they're reusing their bags, and they're just making those small changes that the water bottles, the cups, the stuff that's really easy at, you know, that kind of first entry point. But actually, I think it is shifting. The conversations are changing.
Yeah.
And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah. And I'm finding, you know, each week I'm talking to people all around the world, and I'm starting to see a theme. So, you know, this, I think, is just the best thing. If we can amplify this even more, I think this is just going to grow. So, and I'm so glad there's people like you around who are a part of it. So I have to ask you this, Sarah, what's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Wow. I think we all need to be doing what we've been talking about in terms of us all being more, whether it's ethical, sustainable, whatever you call it, we have to make a difference. That whole, the environmental, social sort of destruction that comes from everything that we do is shocking.
Mm.
I actually did my background before the tech piece was, I did geography, meteorology. And we were looking at climate change like 30 odd years ago when I was, and it's like, for God's sake, you know, we still haven't done anything about that.
Mm.
Or we're not really addressing it. You guys are having the massive fires. We've got all sorts of stuff everywhere. That stuff is, you know, just not up for debate. We have to make a massive difference. And I think, so it's up to all of us to play a part in that. And consumers are definitely part that we need to poke people, whether that's the big businesses or the government or whatever it is. I would like to see universal access to underwear, basically at a very specific, very direct level, because all these little things that make such a big difference. And we talk about, you know, things that are a fundamental human right. I don't know whether I'd go that far, but that whole, you need to have this. You need girls to be empowered, to be able to complete their education, to be economically active. women, and certainly the women that I've met in Africa, are the most creative, innovative people on the planet, and they shouldn't be sort of restricted in that by the fact that they have a period and can't sort of take part in something just because they don't have underwear. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing, and just period poverty more broadly, whether it's here, wherever it is, just sort of access to some of the basic stuff that I think we all deserve, and that's food and water and everything that allows us to contribute. So equality is one of those big things that drives me, again, a little bit crazy. So if that's a change that I'd like to see, then yes, definitely. Through something as simple as underwear, but actually it's more about what that stands for, I think.
Yeah.
And the broader shift. So we're trying to do it through underwear, but actually it's a lot bigger.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, it really just comes back to basic human rights, doesn't it? Like, I think everybody deserves, you know, like you said, equality and an equal chance at everything. And yeah, I really, I'm looking forward to seeing you hit your target of the 23,000. you're going to have to let me know once these new prints come out, because I am so getting some of those.
I can't wait. I'm so excited because I'm with you. It's just like, well, you know, neutral underwear is great when you don't want it to be seen, but sometimes it's like, just, we need a bit of brightening up, cheering up.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if nobody sees it but you. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. It's for you. Yeah. All our messages are on the inside.
Yeah.
So we don't put any of the stuff on the outside. It's for you. So when you put them on in the morning, first thing you see is like, you're amazing. You make a difference. So, yes, it's definitely about you.
And that's why you called it that.
Exactly. It is. Yep.
Oh, Sarah, look, I just wish there were a million of you on the planet, because the impact you're making is incredible. And like I said, I'm all in. So thank you so much for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see where you're heading this year and in the coming years. But thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on this. It's amazing. And thank you for your positive. It's really nice. Made my day. It's nice to, get some feedback. So thank you. I really appreciate it. And everything you're doing as well. Like, it all, we'll get there.
Yeah. One day at a time, one pair of undies at a time, right?
Exactly. A pair of pants at a time.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Mindy.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.